Hey, what is up, my dudes? You can find us every Monday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For the full experience, remember to check us out on YouTube at TFF Dudes. And as always, don't be rude, share the dudes.
Informed, outspoken, wild, fearless. This is the Fantasy Football Dudes Podcast.
What is up, my dudes? This is Trent with the Fantasy Football Dudes Podcast. I am joined by Jordan, Phil, and Seth. While we were here, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Trophies Mac, the dude's favorite place to get our fantasy football trophies, last place ribbons, participation awards, whatever you need customized, that's a trophy. Go to Trophies Mac, www.trophiesmac.com/dudes, 15% off your whole entire order. Help yourself out. Help us out too. Phil, it's week 9. We're ready. Phil, you're sort of a Raiders fan. How are you feeling about Josh McDaniels? I'm surprised you haven't asked for a moment of silence with him being gone.
I cheered for the Raiders for a short time in my life, and it was because I just had to cheer for the team that was like predominant in my household. I am not a Raiders fan, although I do respect the Raiders, and you know, there was like Rich Gannon was fun to watch. Obviously, Charles Woodson. There's just a variety of different players you obviously have to respect, but I'm not a Raiders fan. I will say, though, I feel like Mike McDaniels and I really connected. We're basically on the same playing field. When you think of him, think of me. I think I'm more of a mix between like him and Dan Campbell, but he went into the press conference in Germany. Did you guys see this?
I did not see this.
Total crickets. He's like he just totally bombed. But he walks in. He's like, hey, how's everybody doing? I'm a lot bigger in person, aren't I? And it's just like the reporters are like, what do we do with this guy? Like did you not see that?
No, I got lost because you said Mike McDaniels, and we were talking about Josh McDaniels, the Raiders coach, not the Dolphins coach.
I've moved on.
Basically, what happened with Mike McDaniels? Yeah, happens with you every single time on this podcast.
And then you said German, and I was like, what?
That's what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to bomb to really know when you're swinging for the fences. Like sometimes you just have to really be in the dirt. You got to hear crickets. I think Trent may have tweeted that out at some point.
You have
to hear crickets at some point in your life to then come back and be like, you know, I'm just hitting home runs now. Yeah. And so I feel like me and Mike McDaniel really connected on that.
I agree and with
Trent,
Phil.
You agree?
I agree. Every good joke teller has experienced crickets. That's a fact. But I don't know why he went from Mike McDaniel's Josh McDaniels.
We should have gave you crickets for what you just did.
What, Jordan?
I know, Trent. Rewind.
Okay.
The reason Phil did that is because, Phil, you were a Raider fan. And my question is, have you been a Raider or have you been a Seahawks fan longer than you were a Raiders fan yet? Like, or yes. Not even?
Yes. No, he yes. is not.
I don't yeah. know.
I think I stopped think so. Cheering. I stopped cheering for the Raiders when I was about 12, I would say.
Who were you cheering for in high school?
I had no team. I was a
Raider fan. No. If someone would have asked you what you were when you were 19 years old, you would have said Raider fan.
No, I would have chosen players. I honestly would have. I would have been like, there are a bunch of different players that I really liked at the time. And so there's a bunch of different players that I would have said I would have liked at the time. I probably stopped cheering for the Raiders. I'll give you 14. But at this point in my life, I've now cheered for it's pretty close. I will say it is pretty close. But by the way, the Seahawks are the number one team right now in the NFC West, which is
why am I clapping
to clap it up about. Here's the thing. There we go, Seth. Here, also, I need to settle a bet. I was talking with a guy who you guys are all related to and that I am an acquaintance of.
Hurry this up so we can get into the preview, though. But yes, okay.
He was talking about running backs, and I said Danny Woodhead was at one point in his life a starting running back, and he disagreed with me. And I said, that's factually incorrect. Danny Woodhead was a starting running back, and he was actually a pretty good pass catcher out of the backfield. And he continued to deny that. I'm not going to say his name. It rhymes with Schmolman. And he was a good running back. Will you all agree with that?
Why are you arguing with Schmolman about fantasy football?
Are you on a caffeine high or something? Like, what is going on, Phil? You are all over the place. Like,
I have a lot to
what the heck does Danny Woodhead have to do with anything ever?
I haven't been on the pod in a little bit of time. We were talking about running backs who are pass catchers, and I brought up Danny Woodhead, and he said Danny Woodhead.
Why are you talking a million miles talk about an hour a running right back? Yeah, when did we ever talk about a running back who's a pass
catcher? No. I was talking with him today before the podcast.
Do I need to talk about every random conversation I've had today on the podcast?
It was fantasy relevant. It's a fantasy relevant conversation.
How is that fantasy relevant? Danny Woodhead doesn't play fantasy football, isn't in fantasy football right now.
He was a full point PPR stud. That's how it has to do with fantasy football. The guy had like over 700. Go ahead. In the Super Bowl era, Danny Woodhead had some solid games pass catcher. Let's move on.
We should have a moment of silence for the Raiders, you know, firing their coach, passing the torch, and a moment of silence for Phil's fantasy football career. But anyways, we are not going to do that. What are we
starting Danny Woodhead?
Jordan, right, Jordan, you have the totals ready. Before Jordan gets in the totals here, today's Thursday night preview is brought to you by our friends at Underdog. Underdog is the best place to play best ball, guys. You can draft there every single week. All kinds of drafts, football, basketball, hockey, baseball, whatever you got. Underdog has all your fantasy football needs, you know, for a nice quick draft fix, and they got other stuff too. Promo code dudes will match up to $100. Jordan, what do we got here, buddy? What were the totals for last week's pick 'em?
Okay, so Trent and Phil tied for last at 10-6. Is a pretty good week over just in general overall compared to our week last week. I went 12-4. And Seth is now on the board for the second week at 13-3.
Congratulations, Seth.
Go, baby.
Just kidding.
Because I'm a dummy and picked the Packers to beat the Vikings. Otherwise, Seth and I would have tied. So our totals are, I have three still. Trent has two. Seth has two. And Phil brings up the rear with one.
Alrighty. So guys, we decided we're going to start doing a start, a sit, and a sleeper. We didn't do our sleeper justice last week, so let's go ahead and get our sleeper out of the way right here, right now.
For what it's worth, I nailed my sleeper last week. I was on the pod Sunday to gloat about it, but I nailed my sleeper.
You nailed everything.
Where were you? Tell us where you were at. Where were you at, Jordan? Let's recap that for a second real quick.
Most people know because I sent in a video. You know, when I missed the pod, I sent in a video, you know, letting the people know where I'm at. You just ghost them. So, but yes, I was at the World Series game 3. We lost 3-1. We lost the World Series today. But it was a good time.
He just
time.
Finished wiping stadium his tears was, before he got on.
Yep. Stadium was fun. It's pretty cool atmosphere. I would recommend everyone to go to a World Series game at one point in their life.
World Series playoff baseball is honestly a ton of fun, but we're going to get into
I love when people recommend things that are so obvious. Like, I'd highly recommend you go to a World Series game. Yeah, of course. Well, I definitely would like to go to one with Jordan. Like,
Phil.
I'd highly recommend you. Trent, go ahead.
No, I'd highly recommend you don't coach soccer on Saturdays, but I mean, you still do it.
Our season is our season. I think all of the PTA at the – I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Phil, here's why I say it. Because when most people look at the ticket prices that it costs to go to a World Series, they're going to be like, there's no way I'm going. And I'm telling you, it's worth it.
Roll the bank account and do it.
Yes.
Alrighty. All right. Our fantasy
and
sleeper.
Just for what it's worth, my Saturday soccer seasons are over, unfortunately. Some of those kids had probably the best coach they will ever have the rest of their life. And you know what? I am I'm proud of my
maybe
team.
Maybe if they never played sports season.
We had a great season. Absolutely. We laid it down on the line constantly. Our team had a lot of grit. Frankly, Seth and Jordan, you guys could probably learn a thing or two from me just in terms of investing in time and athletic ability and not tanking your teams like you guys do with fantasy football. All right, moving on to our sleepers here. Do we want to go through
the dude sleepers of the week, presented by Sleeper.
By Sleeper.
No one knew about that video I was going to put on. That video is on YouTube. Go check us out at TFF Dudes. Phil talked the whole entire time. He didn't realize that you can't be heard when there's videos playing in the background. So I'm sorry you had to learn that the hard way, Phil. I learned it once too.
Yep. And also, just for what it's worth, I have So two different, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I have Charbonnet as a sleeper, and then I also have Singletary. So the person who put Charbonnet, are you switching it to Singletary? Or are you
I switched it up. I'm going to go here. Go to Jordan first, and I'll clean up my sleeper here.
Yep. Thank you, Trent, for taking care of the admin work while we're doing the pod. It's always appreciated when you come prepared. Jordan, your sleeper is Demario Douglas. Let me hear about it, buddy.
Yeah. So, we'll get to this game, but Washington gives up the most receiving yards, most touchdowns, most fantasy points to wide receivers. Kendrick Bourne tore his ACL. Devontae Parker missed practice today with concussion. I doubt he plays. And Douglas has 4 and 5 catches his last 2 weeks. So number one wide receiver on this team. And we'll get to, I actually think I like the Patriots passing game this week. That sounds ugly. But Demario Douglas, he's been getting a lot of playing time. I think 70% snaps, getting the ball. Number one wide receiver this week in literally the best matchup possible for wide receivers. So I really like Demario Douglas this week. And I think if you have some receivers on bye or some guys are hurt, whatever it is, I think he's in flex play consideration this week or wide receiver 3 play.
Okay. I like to hear it. Trent, let's hear about yours. I know you updated your sleeper there. Let me hear it.
All right, I have Devin Singletary as my sleeper here, guys. And he's only 33% rostered right now. And what is it? Damian Pierce has an ankle sprain and Sunday status is up in the air. Concerning, you know, he's already lost some of the workload to Devin Singletary. And with the ankle injury, I don't think it becomes much better. So I actually think Devin Singletary is an okay play this week. You know, it's a running back, maybe not huge points he puts up, but it could be a starting running back this week, and maybe he gets a lot of passes he catches.
All right, Setherton, over to you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Taysom Hill. This one might be a more obvious sleeper, but I mean, everyone's seen just the monster stats he had 2 weeks ago. He was featured in the passing game really well. This last week, he had 2 rushing touchdowns. He has 3 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 games. The most carries he's has is gotten 9, but he's getting involved more in the passing game, and his snap count is, it looks like it's at 45% or higher in the last 3 games. So he's getting the usage. He's just a red zone monster. And if the Saints like really need to win games, he's going to come in on crucial downs, like 3rd and short. He's going to come in the red zone a lot when they can run the ball because they just get another body out there to block. And he's just a great runner. So, I mean, I think we can expect at least a touchdown. So I think 6 points is at least safe. I think he's probably going to finish around 10 or more again this week. As long as the Saints are in close games where they can run the ball, he's going to be the featured guy in the red zone for sure.
Yeah, and he's dealing with a little bit of a bang up. He was somewhat limited, but I think he's going to end up playing, Seth. So I think this sleeper still very much plays. Sure. So we can probably hop into this game here. Is there anything else you wanted to add, change, update any notes, Trent, start the pot over again, anything like that?
I don't know why that wasn't updated, because it's been updated in mine since like, you know, 2:45 today. But yeah, same. You could recap all the sleepers there, Phil, and then we can go into Thursday night football.
Yes. So Trent has Devin Singletary, Jordan has Demario Douglas, and Seth has Taysom Hill. All right, let's move into this very fun Thursday night football game. I think everyone's really excited about this one, especially with Levis coming off that big game on Sunday. We have the 3-4 Titans versus the 4-3 Steelers. The current total right now is 36.5. Pittsburgh is currently favored by 2.5. What's going on here, boys?
I'm excited to see Levis. I am excited. Like, I want to see him do good again. He threw 4 TDs last game. The Titans had only thrown 2 the whole season combined before that. I'm only worried because DeAndre Hopkins does have a toe injury. He's questionable right now. I think he powers through and plays, but I am excited to watch Will Levis play some football in this game, see how he does.
Trent, you went all in on him in the league that you went all in on him, went all in on him in a league that you're in. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's a dynasty league. So if there's a starting quarterback available that puts up 4 touchdowns like that, yeah, I'm going to throw all my cash on the table. So I went all in, spent all my fab on Will Levis. Next guy was, you know, 60, $60 close. You know, like I put all in, the next closest guy was $40. So yeah, I went all in. You know, you got to risk it for the biscuit. And in Dynasty, there's not a lot of waiver options usually. So I'm usually pretty reckless with my
You're feeling
family.
Good about it.
I feel good.
You're feeling
about
good
it.
About it. But, good. Seth, Jordan, anything on this? Oh, go ahead, Trent.
No, that's what I was gonna say, same thing.
I think it's a decent spot for the passing games. Much better spot for like Pickens and Deontay Johnson than it is for like Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. I think Pickens has a bounce back week. He did not have the greatest week game last week. So Kenny Pickett's playing too. Was Kenny Pickett, did he get hurt in that game?
He got hurt and Trubisky did not look good. I believe he hurt his ribs.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know when he's coming back.
Trubisky threw the touchdown he's gonna to play. Pickens.
Okay.
Yeah, he's playing. I saw that. I'm just making sure.
Titans defense is allowing 4.6 rushing yards per carry. So it's a decent spot for Steelers running backs. I just don't know which one it's going to be.
Well, I think they've gotten worse as the year gone on. Early in the season, they were a really good run defense, and they were more of a pass funnel, but I think it's kind of gotten worse. Just talking about defense, Trent, I don't know if you noticed this, but like the Steelers' defense is a very weird defense. They're really good for fantasy purposes, but they're really not that good at all. Like when you look at it from like the fantasy points per position they allow, like they score a lot of double digit like fantasy points defensively, but they do give up a lot too. So
is it because you think they get a lot of sacks and takeaways? Is that what it is?
And takeaways.
Like give up yards and touchdowns.
Give up yards and touch and points too. So like they're like one of those defenses that like they're not a good real life defense, but they're a good fantasy defense. Which I feel like that doesn't normally correlate too well, but it does with that team.
I feel like some of the games they win, right, yes, they give up a decent amount of points, but they win those games because they have like an interception or a forced fumble or like six to eight sacks, you know, or something crazy like that. But they still give up, you know, 500 yards.
Joey Porter Jr. is a top graded corner in man coverage. He primarily plays the left side of the field, and DeAndre Hopkins lines up over there 44% of the time. But DeAndre Hopkins, I think he could maybe win that matchup. You know, I kind of was ready to write DeAndre Hopkins off, kind of like he said people did write him off, kind of like Geno, he said, but
he needs it. The Levis quarterback is what he needs.
Exactly.
The quarterback's just going to chuck it up for him, let him go get it. Like, he was not a good fit with Tannehill ever. And here's the problem with DeAndre Hopkins. It's his own fault. He chose to go there.
Exactly.
The guy could have been playing with Patrick Mahomes right now, but he chose to go play with Ryan Tannehill. Look in the mirror. It's your own fault.
We'll see, though. I don't know. He scored a lot last week, Jordan. Maybe he'll keep coming.
Yeah, but, like, okay. But, like, you can't complain when it's like...
Exactly. Exactly. You're right.
But, I mean, the Titans gave him more money than the Chiefs, right? The Titans gave him more money than the Chiefs, though.
I love when Jordan just gets going, look in the mirror, it is your own fault.
Sometimes, I hope he sees
that's good
this.
Advice. That's good advice that sometimes people outside of the NFL need to hear. There's a couple people on this pod who need to take like a very close look in the mirror.
All right. Well, thank you for that insight, Mr. Danny Woodhead. I'm going to go to Steelers win this game.
Similar body styles, similar styles. Go ahead, Trent.
I'm going to say Steelers win this game. Anyone, I think Jalen, one of the Steelers running backs, I think you can play. I don't know which one it is, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm going all in on this. Jalen Warren. I'm going to go Titans.
Tighten up, baby. Yeah,
I'm shaking it up.
Baby. I'm cheering for the Titans, but I'm saying the Steelers are going to win.
I got Steelers.
All right. Okay, moving on here. We are heading over to Germany. They've just missed Oktoberfest. It is now in November, but I'm sure they'll still have a good time. We have the 6-2 Dolphins versus 6-2 Chiefs. Current total right now is 50.5. KC is favored by 2.5. This is I hate saying this because I know Trent is probably going to say it, so I'm just going to take away a shine here. This is a Tyreek Hill revenge game. Is that what you were going to say, Trent?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is a Tyreek Hill revenge game. I wish it was at Arrowhead, though. It being in Germany kind of takes a little bit of the revenge game factor off of it, I will say.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think I agree with you there. He's going to see, and I think all the teammates still like him and stuff like that, but it would be better if it was in KC. Like, man, I would rather go to this game than I think a game in England. Like, the food in Germany is so much better, in my opinion. You get the pretzels, you have the just like a bunch of different things that are just going to be better in Germany. But anyhow, let's talk. Oh, go ahead, Jordan.
No. Best pretzel I ever had in my life was in Munich Airport. You know, it was really good. Just fun fact. But no, Germany's like freezing right now. Like, winter in Germany sounds terrible. I do like, I wouldn't mind going to Germany. I'm a quarter German, but like, no, Germany right now, it's probably freezing. I'm not interested.
I imagine a quarter German.
What, Jordan?
Where's the game at?
It's at Deutsche Bank Park.
Okay, where and what part of Germany?
You watch soccer, Frankfurt. Jordan?
It's probably not snowing at the game.
Oh, so it's the Eintracht Frankfurt. Yeah.
Oh, it's.
I don't know that stadium.
It's open. It's an open stadium. Oh, I think they might be able to close it. I think they can close it. I believe they can close it.
I don't think this game would have this high of a total if it was going to snow.
If it's indoor or outdoor, whatever, it's probably indoor because it's Germany and they do have severe winters there. I'm saying, like, yeah, you're probably be warm at the game, but after the game, like when you're touring the place, you're going to be freezing your tail off.
Practicing or going out for a delicious bite. Like, there's a lot of different things where you could be potentially freezing your tail off. But this is going to be a good game. And I think, to your point, Seth, yeah, this is going to be a good game.
Yeah, retractable roof.
Retractable roof. Thank you for looking into that. Deutsche Bank of...
Here's an idea, Phil. Instead of looking into German, you know, breads and custards and hot dogs and pretzels, look up the stadium before we get on the pod. All right, what were you saying, Jordan?
I think that's a fair point. A fair point. It's going to be a good game. The food is probably going to be great. And
Start everyone.
Jordan, let's hear your thoughts. I know, you know, you love the Chiefs.
I don't like the run games very much. I don't love Pacheco here. I don't love Mostert. Mostert didn't practice today either. So I don't love the run games here, especially on the Dolphins side. That Chiefs run defense is pretty good. And I think the Dolphins run defense is better than their pass defense. So, but I love the passing game on both sides. Just a note, KC had 6 different wide receivers played 20% snaps or more. Hardman was 20%. Watson was about 35%. Tony was 20%. And then all of Rashee Rice, MVS, and Sky Moore are all about 55% and up. And Rashee Rice is the leader. So Rashee Rice is my favorite KC wide receiver. I think it's a pretty good spot for him. So I like the Kelce, Mahomes, Rashee Rice. Don't love Pacheco as much, but then obviously, like, Pacheco's fine. I think he's definitely fine just because of his role. But yeah, then all the Dolphins, obviously. Except I'm a little bit lower on Mostert. This Chiefs defense is pretty good, but like Tyreek Hill, Waddle are more matchup proof than I think Mostert is.
I think we could have a big Waddle game in this game. I think that's going to be a little bit
It's going to come, right?
Yeah.
It's coming at some point.
Yeah, and more concentration on Tyreek Hill here. You know, it's his old team and everything, and maybe they kind of know his strengths and weaknesses pretty well, him spending all the time he did there. But I think Waddle could have a really big game here, and I like Pacheco more than Mostert because, like you said, Chiefs defense is pretty good.
The other thing to consider, like some of these teams, they've been talking about it basically all week on some of these networks. But Travis Kelce, just in terms of if you can figure out a way to shut him down to some extent, it really shuts down. It locks up the Chiefs offense quite a bit. And even though McDaniels is more of an offensive coach, I imagine they're probably scheming up some pretty good things over there in Miami, or rather in Germany, to kind of try and slow him down a bit. I know that's every team's deal, but just as they've started to see that a little bit this season, I think they probably got some good stuff. So, yeah. And just
it depends if Taylor Swift's going to be there or not.
I don't think she's
going to
be there.
That's a good point. International, yeah. She doesn't travel
to
international.
Coach
game.
Prime here. To quote Coach Prime, you can know everything, yes, still have to stop it.
That's true.
That's true. So we'll see.
I was surprised Seth wasn't Deion Sanders for Halloween. Like, honestly, I thought that's what he was gonna be. Instead, he was Shmi from Peter Pan, which
I didn't get my glasses in time. Anyways, I'm gonna go Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Oh, really? For sure. I'm Dolphins too. Yeah. I don't think it's that bold of a take. Trent, you're acting like Denver versus KC last week. Like what was
I don't think Kansas City loses two in a row. I know it's a neutral playing field. I'm excited for this game. This is the most excited I've ever been for a game not on American soil. I'll say that.
Yeah, this morning game, 6:30, man, I'm going to be like so pumped for this game.
So I'm going Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs lose two in a row. Jordan?
Okay.
I got Chiefs.
You got Chiefs. All right, moving on here. This is another really good game that I think people are excited about. A lot of hype coming into this game. This is, you know, one this is a big one. But we have the 5-3 Bills. This is Sunday night football, by the way, guys. Sunday night football. 5-3 Bills versus the 4-3 Bengals. Current total right now is 48.5. Cincinnati is currently favored by 3. Trent, you have a start in this game, and then we can go into a little bit of some of the game information there.
All right, I got Gabe Davis as my start of the week. His A dot actually shrunk quite a bit last week. It was around 15.6 yards per attempt. This season, it went down to 6.5 yards per attempt. And I just think he's really good. I think everyone was a year early on his breakout season. I think it's this season now. And usually when these big games happen, shootouts, Gabe Davis usually gets a touchdown. So I really like Gabe Davis this week in this matchup versus the Bengals. I'm really excited about this game. These are the two games I'm most excited about is the Germany game and this Sunday Night Football game. But yeah, I think you can fire up Gabe Davis, and I like Dalton Kincaid also. And even Shakir's probably not a terrible deep sleeper play, but I think it's going to be all hands on deck for Buffalo to win this game, and the same for Cincinnati. On the other side of the ball, the Bills are very good against wide receivers, but I'm not saying to sit any of the Bengals wide receivers. Jordan, what are your thoughts?
Well, and to echo that, or to follow up with that point, like Joe Burrow looks the best he's looked all year on Sunday, right? So, and he even gets.
And we saw what Mac Jones did to the Bills too.
Yeah. I think this is a good spot for the Chiefs wide receivers, Trent. Like,
yeah, Bengals.
Yeah. So, you know, the Bills have allowed.
Sorry, the Bengals. I meant the Bengals. Yeah.
The Bills have allowed just 5 double digit wideout scores on the season.
Who have they played?
I'm not sure who that is. Devontae Adams has had the best game against them. But it's maybe a weak schedule. Like they had
Trent's comparing Juju Smith-Schuster to Ja'Marr Chase, apparently. Go ahead, Jordan.
No, I think Burrow looks healthy. Ja'Marr Chase is the guy there. Like he's clearly the guy. I love Chase in this spot. Like you just play all your guys. This game's gonna be awesome. So as long as
do you have a game out of
that, so
do you have a game out of Higgins? Do you have a big game out of Higgins?
It might just be where he comes along for the ride because the game's so good. You know what I'm saying? Like he might just get there because of that. I don't know. I don't like mix again. Like I feel the same way about this game as I do with kind of the Chiefs game we just talked about, where like I don't like the run game as much as the passing games. Like I don't like Mixon really, and I don't like Cook and Fournette being there. Like muddies the waters even a little bit more. So I don't know. Yeah. If they don't sign Fournette to the actual roster, then maybe Cook's fine. But if Fournette's on the actual roster, I like the passing games. I think you're more guaranteed roles in the passing side, and Joe Mixon just sucks.
Some of the guys, some of the things I've seen about the Fournette signing, they think it's more to put pressure on Latavius Murray. I think they want Cook to be the guy, but it seems like last week they did 20 plays in no huddle, just a faster paced offense. And it's just, I think if they stay in that, I don't know if they're going to run the ball as much. It's just quick stuff to all those wide receivers are really good at quick stuff. You have Diggs, Davis, and Kincaid. Man, for Kincaid's sake, I don't really want Dalton Schultz to come back. I mean that in the nicest way possible. And it is a road game, Jordan.
You mean Dawson Knox.
I'm sorry.
He's on injured reserve, Trent.
And when's he come back, though? Weeks. Yeah.
Well, he has to be out 4 weeks. And last week,
I know. I want him to stay out longer than 4 weeks.
More. Well, he's not going to get the same role. Like, you can't keep balling.
Yeah.
He's not. No, I mean, it would. I mean, McDermott's not that dumb.
I know. I'm mad it took this long, though.
The thing about
sometimes that's what it takes for guys to blossom in their role.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox is their guy. Like, he's been their guy. Sorry, Phil. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Go ahead.
The thing about T. Higgins that I also mentioned, he was receiving some trade interests coming into this week, and he is on a contract year. So I imagine, I imagine just the latter half of the season, he's probably going to pick up quite a bit, or we should probably expect him to pick up quite a bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and
especially if the Bengals keep rolling too.
Yeah, to your point, Jordan, James Cook's past four games have amounted to 7.8 fantasy points or fewer, minus that one 2 weeks ago when he caught that touchdown pass.
Well, here's the problem with James Cook is he's not playing in the red zone. He's entirely dependent on a long touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the only way he's scoring is if he has a long touchdown or he racks up the PPR points with the catching. Like,
yeah,
they're not using him at the goal line. They're content with Latavius Murray falling down at the two every time, which is why they brought in Fournette.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're like me, and I know most people are not like me, but when you have the Josh Allen, James Cook stack, it makes it not quite as bad because Josh Allen is running some of those in also, right? But it'd be nice to get because that's the other one too, is it's Josh Allen throwing, and Josh Allen does steal some goal line carries also. Like, he is
not as much this year as he has in the past, but yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go, man, in Cincinnati, I'm going to go with Bengals.
I'm going with Bengals too.
I'm also going Bengals. All right, here, let us move on. We have, this is another very exciting game. And I don't know, Trent, I thought you might be more excited about this game than any other this week. But we have the 5-2 Cowboys versus the 7-1 Eagles. Current total right now is 46. Philadelphia is currently favored at home. No starts or sits in this game, but probably just going to go into a little bit more just because this is a good one here.
I'm excited about this one too. You're right. I kind of got ahead of myself. I'm excited about this one, and I think you kind of play everyone in this one too. I'm not excited about Pollard. I know Seth said that receiving backs do okay versus the Eagles, but Pollard, since week four, Pollard's 33 in fantasy points per game, 8.5. So, like I kind of said most of last season, I don't think Pollard's an every down running back in the NFL, and it's looking like that's true. I know Jordan's not a huge Derrick Henry fan, but I kind of want the Cowboys to trade for Henry just to get Pollard off the field. That he gets maxed out. Jordan, he gets maxed out. Like, did you see the rumors of what his running back coach said?
What is running back coach
last year after that big, who was it against? He had that 55-yard touchdown reception last year versus the Saints. And he said, "I don't got any more in me, coach." Like, he runs out of gas. It's just how he is. He's built like that.
Yeah, but I also think the Cowboys offense isn't as good as they were before. I don't think their O-line's as good. Like, and I don't think I feel like they're trying to use him in the way they use like Ezekiel Elliott or like, they're trying to use him in a way they used Ezekiel Elliott when he was the only running back there. And they're not using him in the ways they have in the past. Like, just because he's the only guy there doesn't mean you have to use him completely differently. You could use him like how the Chargers use Austin Eckler, but they're not using him like that. They're trying to use him as like some power back or like, that's just not what he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they have no power back, right? Like, who are they going to use as their power back?
But neither do the Chargers.
Like I said, that'd be a good trade candidate.
Yeah. I'm agreeing with you.
I still think Pollard will have a decent game in the passing game, but I will say the Eagles are the best team against fantasy points for running backs.
It's a horrible matchup. It's a horrible matchup.
It's a horrible matchup, but I still think he gets a decent amount of points just from the passing game because the Eagles do give up quite a bit of points in the passing game to running backs because their defense is just completely like wide open to any sort of throwing.
I guess, Trent, my point is, and you might know this more than me, it doesn't feel like they're using Pollard in the passing game.
I think because he's on the field more, maybe they aren't. I don't know why they aren't. But what's happened the last two games is CeeDee Lamb has demanded the ball the last two games, and I think they need to give him the ball 10 opportunities a game.
Yeah, that's fine. But, like, do they ever run any screens for him? Like, that's how they were using him last year.
Yeah, like the wheel route he ran that was an awesome touchdown. That one week where he had like three touchdowns and they were like two big passing plays and it was a wheel route and it was just awesome. Like how the 49ers use McCaffrey. It's just like you got to use it in similar ways.
I'm trying.
But we're talking about Mike McCarthy, who is not the smartest tool in the shed. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he doesn't know like what he's doing, if we're being honest.
Tweet at him.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Tell him. Get him. Take a look in the mirror.
This is a good test. The 49ers game did not go well. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too high, but I am excited about this game. I'm hoping CeeDee Lamb gets more involved, and maybe that opens up Pollard and other situations. And Brandon Cook's getting more involved also. But the guy you have to start on the other side of the ball is A.J. Brown, is on a tear right now, and maybe the second best wide receiver in the NFL right now behind Tyreek Hill. Would you say that?
Over the last few weeks, A.J. Brown's been the better wide receiver.
Okay. Jordan, what do you think?
It's close. Let me
pull up here.
It's A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase. It's those three. Mm-hmm. It's really close between those three. Ja'Marr Chase has had a really good last couple of weeks. Seth's pointed up, like, I think CeeDee's in a better spot than A.J. Brown for what it's worth.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
A.J. Brown's just a really good football player. But he's actually in a lot tougher matchup where, like, this Eagles secondary is horrible. They're awful. It's their only weak spot of the team, I think, in general. Sam Howell just tore this team to shreds. Jahan Dotson had the best game of his life against this team. Like, I love the spot for CeeDee. I like the spot for Michael Gallup. I love the spot for Jake Ferguson. Like, it's just a great spot for that passing game. So I will be loading it up with some Dak and CeeDee.
No. Keep Dak out of your lineup. That's a curse, Jordan. I'll give you $5 to not put Dak in your lineup. Like, please, just don't do it. Like, we'll come to the pod. We'll be happy. We'll sing Kumbaya. Well, this isn't fair.
Dak was good last week, Trent.
Was he in your lineup?
Wow. No.
Okay, keep Sam Dak out of your lineup and keep his name out of your mouth. So, anyway, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I'll say this. It's like a 1A, 1B situation here because A.J. Brown's had over 125 receiving yards. And, like, over the last six games, he's had over that in every game. Less touchdowns. Tyreek Hill's getting more touchdowns. And his yards, when he has blow-up games, he has a lot of yards. But it's like a 1A, 1B situation here.
Okay. What about Swift? You excited about Swift, Jordan?
Yeah, it's a solid matchup. But again, like, the Eagles are just so good on offense that it doesn't matter. But it is a better matchup for the Cowboys than it is the Eagles in this game.
What I've noticed out of Dak since the 49ers game, it seems like he's been playing a little bit more like Mississippi State-esque, where it's kind of like, I'm just going to take over. I'm not running these. It seems like he's a little more mobile. It happened about halfway through the Chargers game where it's just like, I'm taking over this game. He's not being a pocket passer. He has to play like backyard football like he used to do. He hasn't done it for about a year and a half. He's starting to do that again. You know, I know they don't want him to get hurt, but they need him to play like that to win.
Yeah. No, I obviously like Dak a lot in this spot. Gallup's interesting because he got a ton of targets 2 weeks ago. He didn't get as many this week, but I think I like Gallup as well. Like we saw what those secondary wide receivers for Washington did. So I do like Gallup a lot and Cooks to a degree. But also on the Eagles side, Goddard's in a really good spot here. Really, really good spot. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are a lot more susceptible to the tight end beating them than the wide receivers on the outside, is what it seems like to me.
All right, I'm going to go Dallas wins this game. Who's going Eagles here?
I got Eagles. Eagles at home.
Dallas?
Got Eagles.
It's in Philly, makes me not want to go Dallas.
Oh, definitely going Eagles then, Trent. I'm sorry.
I just can't, though. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
Phil, back to you, buddy.
That would hurt. All right.
You know what hurts, though, Phil? Not using
being
Manscaped.
So oh, yes.
That hurts too, Nickin. But Manscaped is the dude's official sponsor for all our men's toiletry bathroom needs. Head over to manscaped.com. Promo code DUDES20, 20% off your whole entire order. The Lawnmower 5.0, that thing's great. It's got two different heads you can rotate on and off. I believe you can use it for your face and wherever else you want to use it. It's still got the flashlight. They got the Weed Whacker 4.0, the boxers, all the good stuff, some nice body wash. Seth, you're getting way too excited in this promo, so I'm going to just say dudes 20% off your whole entire order. Phil, what do we got next?
That was a good transition, Trent. I got to give it to you. That was a good one there. All right, moving on here. We have the 3-5 Colts versus the 1-6 Panthers. Current total right now is 44. Indianapolis currently favored by 3. Since week 4, this is a Trent stat that he's feeding me. Colts games combined for the highest total at 58 points per game, ahead of the Dolphins actually at 54.8, and allow the most opponent points per game at 31.8. So little Gardner Minshew love a little bit. Obviously, Anthony Richardson's hurt, but Minshew comes in and slangs it. YOLO ball. I think he went to the Jameis Winston school of let her rip. And so we've had some good games there. Let us go into that, boys. What are we thinking here?
I like Josh Downs. Like, he has, I believe, 3 straight games of double digit fantasy points. He's kind of turned into like Minshew's guy there. I think you play Pittman too, but I really like Josh Downs as a, you know, maybe on your waiver wire still. Go check that out. But like, I like Josh Downs. Jonathan Taylor needs to have a blow-up game eventually. It's coming. I don't know when it's going to be, but
I think Zach Moss is still playing a decent amount.
That's the problem. Yeah.
It's the Jonathan Taylor week this week. Smash spot for Jonathan Taylor. I think the Panthers give up like the most. They're like one of the best matchups for running backs when it comes to like fantasy points allowed. Let me look this up real quick.
Colts allow the most opponent plays.
Yeah, per game. Panthers allow 27.3 fantasy points per game to running backs. They allow the third most yards and have allowed 12 touchdowns to running backs, which is the most. So, JT actually is playing 60% snaps. Zach Moss played about 50% snaps, so they're on the field a little bit together. I think that might be wrong. Let me double check that, because I feel like the Jonathan Taylor game is going to come. And so it's all about when it happens. And I think it's going to happen soon here. Yeah. 39% snaps for Zach Moss compared to 61% for JT. The week before was 50-50. And I know Moss was a little bit banged up coming into the week, so maybe that played a factor in it, but I think JT's the guy here. So I like JT a lot. I think it's the JT breakout game. Going to have a lot of him in DFS this week. And then I think on the other side, Chuba's in a good spot. Miles Sanders is not even playing anymore. Chuba's playing pretty mm-hmm. much all the snaps. And then Thielen's, this is a good matchup for Thielen too. Really good matchup for Thielen.
Yeah, and Thielen's just letting it rip every week, you know, like just plug that guy and play him. But it's actually a good matchup. Like you're saying, it might not be a garbage time. Like, yeah, Thielen, the ageless wonder. I'm going to say Colts win this game. I don't know if the Panthers are ready to go on a win streak yet. Anyone going to go Panthers?
No, I got to go. I got to go Colts here.
Yeah, Colts.
All righty. We have some really great matchups here. This one I think everyone is excited about, and I think we might even have a video. You want to give me that video right now?
Actually, Fantasy Dad, he took a little bit of a – tumble, lost a tooth. He's not really in it right now, but he will be back. Just keep giving it, you know, he's doing good though. So he's ready to do your starts and sits questions. He's been out of it for a couple days though, but wishing him a speedy recovery. And hopefully we'll get another video next week. But yeah, he's hopping on pods and all kinds of stuff all the time. So Fantasy Dad, give him a follow at TFF Dad. Really appreciate him. Super cool guy. Follow him on Twitter or X, whatever you call it.
Yeah, we miss you, Dad. Come on. Hope you get better, man.
And give us a follow also at TFF Dudes. Remember, don't be rude. Share the dudes. Really helps us out. But yeah, no video today, unfortunately. But his last one with Hulk Hogan was so good. So go back and watch that one.
Oh, yeah. People love that one. That was a good one. All right, let's move on here. Like I said, this is a highly anticipated game for most of the league. We have the 5-2 Seahawks versus the 6-2 Ravens. The current total right now is 43. Baltimore is currently favored by 5.5 at home. This is going to be a good one, I think. Like, what are we thinking here? I mean, one thing that maybe we want to put out on the table, and Trent, I know you had him initially as your sleeper, but darn, Charbonnet looks good, huh?
Well, I think the thing with Charbonnet is Walker is a little, what is it? He has a little bit of a calf injury concern, and I thought Charbonnet might get a decent amount of snaps. He did. It was the snap percentage was
he had 60%. He had 59% of snaps last week. Charbonnet did.
I was wondering if that might boost up depending on the calf injury. That's all. But the Ravens are pretty tough against the pass, actually. So. Might be a decent play for on the ground, but yeah, I'm looking at that calf injury where I'm thinking you might be able to play Charbonnet even if Walker suits up.
Yeah.
Well, they're good against totally. The run too, Trent. Yeah. Baltimore's good against both.
Yeah, it's a good defense. It's a good defense.
Yeah.
But yeah. Are you excited to play? Like you're probably, is this a Jackson Smith, the Jigba game? Is he back? I know no. It's a tough passing game, but
I think it's a Tyler Lockett game.
You think so?
Yeah. I think the Ravens will probably limit big plays, which, I mean, doesn't necessarily take DK out of the game. But I think, like, when the games are – they need short yardage throws, they're going to probably be throwing to Tyler Lockett and JSN more. Jake Bobo will probably play a lot of the game.
Yep.
Probably because he run blocks really well, and that's kind of been the story behind it. So he'll definitely be playing a lot.
Bobo Baggins,
but I don't think he'll have like, unless he catches like a crazy catch again or has a crazy run, like he's not really fantasy relevant. I think JSN kind of is though. So if you need like a wide receiver 4/flex play, I think it's fine. I mean, you have buys, and if you have them on your team, like you're probably not too excited to play him against the Ravens. But if it's a good high scoring game, like who knows, JSN could have a touchdown for a third week in a row. So
I'm playing.
Seth, my question is, who is the possession guy, the guy who's going to catch the ball every 10 yards, dump downs? Like, is it Lockett or is that JSN? Or is that one of the tight ends?
So when they used, I think it's more Lockett. So when we saw like the game in overtime, we saw Lockett catch a lot of short passes. And yeah, he caught a big one for the game winner. But it's like it's more Lockett, I think, when the game's like down to crunch time, like they're gonna throw the ball to him. But I do think they are using JSN more. That the week that DK didn't play 2 weeks ago, they were using JSN differently, right? We saw a different kind of touchdown. But last week, this was more kind of how they were using at the beginning of the season, where it was a lot of screen and like 1 yard pass catches or like a couple yard pass catches, and he scored on that one. So I'm not really sure how they're planning on using JSN. It seems like they're using him like they were using him in the first few weeks, which kind of disappoints me, because you see at JSN at Ohio State, and he was not like, sure, he tore off some big like bubble screen touchdowns, but it's like he's like a big play guy. Like I wish they would just send him more down the field. But
well, the only reason I asked that.
Go ahead,
Phil. No, I said the only reason I asked that is because Trey McBride like had a huge game last week, but I think a lot of that was like short stuff, like possess, like a lot of like volumers. And I think the one touchdown he got like pushed in to the end zone, but like that's why, like, because he's just kind of like they ton of volume, short stuff. So I just curious, like, because Baltimore doesn't.
Yeah, I just think the tight ends are just so really. They're so volatile. Yeah, they're not, it's like Noah Fant could have a good game, and it might be like his like one of three only good games all season, and that means like decent game. You know, or it could be four different tight ends have catches, you know, like it could be totally like that. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, the Ravens are good, but I'm going to go what Seahawks.
What it seems like too, Seth, just for what it's worth, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it almost seems like it's more of a pride thing for DK. Like they should definitely make DK be the guy that JSN is playing. Like, I think he could have probably a much better, he could probably have some much better success at what they're doing with JSN and letting JSN be like the kind of guy DK is being right now. I just don't think DK wants to be that guy. Do you get what I'm saying a little bit?
Yeah, I just think if the Seahawks want to actually be like a really good offense, they need to be throwing the ball to all three guys. And I mean, we all know how DK's like mental capacity is, you know, it's like if he's not getting the ball and the Seahawks are losing, he just completely breaks down and acts like a complete child. But the problem is, it's like if you want to be a team like the Eagles, you have to realize that some players are not going to have good weeks because it's just that player happens to be more open or they just work in the game plan really well. And if that means JSN or Tyler Lockett has to go off and DK has to suffer and it's vice versa the other few weeks, then that's just the kind of offense you have to be. If you want to be a good offense, not all three guys are going to always have good games. So,
yep.
I mean, sure, I could tell the guy that to his face and he probably thinks I'm an idiot, but who knows?
He would have, hey, two things can
he
be right.
Be the only
two,
one.
Two things can be true, Seth. That's what's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
Real quick, Trent, real quick. We got to talk about the Ravens side because this is like an elite, elite, elite matchup for the Ravens passing game. Like, we're going to get a bounce back Lamar week. Zay Flowers in a great spot again. I think we get that. I think he has another bounce back week in Mark Andrews. Like, it's such a good spot for the Ravens passing game. I want to make sure like that was thrown out there because guys want to talk about the Seahawks for 24 hours.
It's true.
Yeah, the Ravens are in a great spot here. But they're in a really tough spot in the run game. Like, it's a tough spot for Gus Edwards, but we saw what Amari Cooper did to this defense last week, the Seattle defense.
Yeah, I have. You like Gus? You don't like Gus Edwards as much. Gus Edwards has back to back
matchup.
Yeah, he has back to back 20-point finishes. Keaton Mitchell is healthy. That's a guy I've been hanging on to. I kind of dropped Gus Edwards because I have Keaton Mitchell. It looks like a terrible move so far. So do not always follow what I do. But I'm excited, more maybe excited about him in Dynasty. I'm going to say Ravens win this game. Sorry if that breaks anyone's hearts on this pod and all the Seahawks listeners that we have all the Seahawks listeners you guys think we have.
I'm going Hawks, baby.
I'm going Hawks for sure.
This is a bird fight.
Baltimore.
Yeah, it's a bird fight. And honestly, I think a Raven would probably actually kill a Seahawk in a real fight, but we're going Seahawks, baby.
I don't know.
Crows are annoying.
No.
Crows are
same thing.
Yeah, no, you're right, Seth. I think my only disagreement is I think the Seahawks win. They have a little bit more grit. They're on the streets of the water a little bit more, and so I think we win that one.
It depends if the battle's over sea or over ground.
Two if by air, three if by sea. All right, moving on here. We are moving on to the 3-4 Bucks versus the 3-4 Texans. The current total right now is 40. Houston is currently favored by 3, which is actually kind of wild to me, even though they're at home. Jordan, you have a sit in this game.
Yeah. I got Chris Godwin as a sit. Texans give up the third least fantasy points to wide receivers, sixth in wide receiving yards allowed to wide receivers, and have only allowed two touchdowns to wide receivers, which is pretty impressive, like through 8 weeks. On top of that, you look at Godwin, who scored his first touchdown of the year last week, has only had one game over 80 yards. So he basically has a high floor, but zero ceiling. And so it was zero ceiling in this matchup. Like, to me, this is just like why? Like, you're basically like, you're capping your upside here. Maybe he gets you like 8 points, and if you're fine with that, then go ahead. But like, I feel like you're trying to get more upside out of your receivers. So I just think it's like just not a really good spot for him. Tough matchup. He doesn't have much upside. This Texas defense is really stingy to wide receivers. So I'm just going to sit Chris Godwin here.
Yeah. And to your point, since week 3, the Buccaneers have been one of 5 teams without a single game hitting the over. So, they're, you know, it's just lower scoring games.
I think this game goes over, though.
I hope you're right. Mm-hmm. As a CJ Stroud holder,
I really like the spot for CJ Stroud and Nico Collins and Tank Dell. I think we get a bounce back spot. Last week, Carolina has a good, pretty solid passing defense. And so I think we get a bounce back CJ Stroud week this week.
Yep. Bucks are actually pretty tough against tight ends. They've done really good against all the tight ends they've played except Dalton Kincaid. That list includes TJ Hawkinson, Cole Kmet, Dallas Goedert, and Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith.
But they're very bad against wide receivers.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So yeah, like last week they got tore up. Probably have to play Rashad White if you have him. Texans running backs. I said Singletary is a sleeper. I'm gonna say, man, who do I think's gonna win this game? You guys all going Texans, I'm assuming.
I'm gonna go Texans.
I got Texans.
I think I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Bucks. What are you doing, Phil?
No, I'm going Bucks. I'm going Bucks.
I had a Baker Mayfield as a waiver ad for a streamer this past week. Just reminding you, we do. I do have a waiver episode every Tuesday wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can go sign up for it at www.thefantasyfootballdudes.com. But go check that out every Tuesday. Nice little 15-minute waiver article. What do we got next, Phil?
And I will. Baker was a play away from beating the Bills last week, and he actually probably should. He probably should have won that ball hit. What did it? The ball land right next to Chris Godwin.
Godwin just didn't like find. He didn't see the ball. Like it was very catchable on that Hail Mary.
He was wide open. It was right next to him. Like the ball landed in a very catchable spot right next to him. So don't sleep on Baker or the Bucks. I think you got to go with the Bucks there. All right, moving on. We have the 3-5 Commanders versus the 2-6 Patriots. The current total right now is 40. New England is currently favored by 3.5. Commanders getting rid of some of their inventory, what do we think about this game? We can go quick here.
Is this finally a spot for Ramondre Stevenson, Jordan, with, you know, the Commanders unloading all those defensive linemen? Ramondre hasn't topped 10 carries since week 4 and has 4 games or 6 or 7 fewer fantasy points and 0 over 15.5. He had just 5 games of 6.7 or less last year.
I think it's a really good spot for the Patriots in general. This Washington defense so far has been a lot worse against the pass, but to your point, losing Chase Young, losing Montez Sweat, or is it Montez? What is it, Montez?
I'm not sure.
Or Sweat. Right. Anyways, like, I can also say that it makes their pass defense worse too, because there's less of a pass rush, which gives them. So I just think it's a really good spot for the Patriots in general. I think you can go to Ramondre Stevenson, but like, man, Mac Jones, like, is this the Mac Jones spot if there ever was a Mac Jones spot? Like, I mentioned how I like DeMario Douglas, but like, I can't believe I'm saying it, but like, I kind of like Mac Jones this week. I think I'm going to have Mac Jones in DFS, like, have like a Mac Jones to DeMario Douglas with like a Terry McLaurin bring back. Like, I don't know. Like, I like Mac Jones this week, and I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. So,
Mac Jones, Dak Prescott. I don't know if this is opposite day or what it is, Jordan, but you do not seem like yourself. Maybe that Arizona air changed you a little bit, man.
Someone go check on him. We need to do a welfare check. This is like one of those situations where it's like he's crying for help over there. And one of us, Seth, please go drive over there and just make sure he's not being holding hostage.
This Washington defense isn't good. And Mac Jones looked decent last week. So like, I don't know. I can't. And I don't know. I can't get it
Blink
out of my
twice
head.
If you're okay.
I think I'm okay.
It was weird. He started letting chickens in his house and he changed. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's a new man. I don't know what happened between here and Phoenix, Arizona, but
I think he found himself on that road trip.
Country roads.
Or
all
I
right,
lost myself.
On.
Take me home.
I might have lost myself.
Yeah. It's actually a really good spot for Dotson and McLaurin too, Jordan. Like the this could be a sneaky fantasy play, you know, a little fantasy stew. You know, it's fall weather. Actually, you know, pumpkin spice weather. I think that's almost done, so that's kind of sad. While we're there, but anyone, I think I'm going to go Patriots here. I think Zeke maybe falls in the end zone at some point. Who knows? Then it would just be like Jordan wouldn't know what to do. It'd be like Mac Jones had a good game. DeMario has a good game. Zeke scores a touchdown. Yeah, Jordan, it'd be the end of the world for Jordan. Anyone going to go Patriots?
That's where I draw the line. I'm not recommending Zeke.
You're going for Patriots, Seth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Patriots.
I'm taking Commanders.
Trent, the one Patriots.
Trent makes fun of me and Seth about talking about the Seahawks so much, but this guy is he has probably mentioned Zeke on every single podcast that we've done since the inception of this podcast. Like I can't. He gives us so much trash, and the guy is always talking about Zeke. All right, not
he's
even on this
work
team anymore.
A Zeke reference in on their bye week too somehow.
Absolutely,
he that's will. A good buying opportunity. He probably got dropped.
All right, moving on here. We have the 2-6 Bears versus the 4-4 Saints. Current total right now is 41. New Orleans is currently favored by 7.5. Excuse me, Seth, you have a sit in this game, and you also have a sleeper in this game.
Yeah, so I mentioned my sleeper, Taysom Hill. He's had a good last few games. I think they're going to continue to use him. But the sit of the week is the Bears running backs. So the Bears running backs, it's kind of a split between Roshan and Donta Foreman. I believe Herbert is slated to come back next week or the following week. So that'll just even make it worse. But the Saints are the, looks like the best team against running backs, only allowing about 11 fantasy points per week. And that's going to be split between two guys. And also the Saints running backs have given up no passing touchdowns to running back, or the Saints defense, you know, no passing touchdowns to running back and only give up 0.38 touchdowns a week to running backs. So the Saints defense is just good against running backs, especially in the red zone. And I think that's the only way that the Bears running backs have any success this week is having a touchdown. And even if they do get that touchdown, I don't think they're going to see more than 8 points. So I think this is kind of like an easy sit to say, but I think it's just one that you definitely need to avoid if you have any Bears running backs. I would pick up somebody else if you could.
Yeah, like Roshan had 38% of the running back touch percentage last week. Deonta had 55%. And then Darontone Evans had a bunch of fourth quarter garbage time. So I just don't. How do you say that?
Darrington.
Darrington. Darrington. I don't even know if Jordan's saying that right. But,
and Trent, for what it's worth, Donta Foreman played 32 snaps and Roshan played 36.
Okay. So I
so it's a little bit less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was for the first three.
Avoid these guys.
Sorry. Anything else you want to talk about in this game? Kamara's a smash. Does Olave finally score a touchdown? Maybe like him and Carr have to get on the same page at some point.
I don't think he scores a touchdown unless it's a big play. Cause if we're going back to like my sleeper play, like they are committed to running the ball in the red zone because they have Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Like it's so easy for them to run the ball when they're within the 20 yard line because they can run it so well with him just taking direct snaps.
Well, and then like even like what's Kamara's targets? Like Kamara's a league winner, guys, if he keeps this up.
What was he suspended? Five games?
Three games, but he's had three.
And he's currently wide receiver 10?
Yeah. Last week he only running had back, five yeah. targets, which is still kind of a lot for a running back. But he's had over 14 targets in two games.
Yeah, in that one week he had 14 in one game. So
no, he has two games with 14.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Saints win this. Is there anything else? Like maybe what's Michael Thomas look like, Jordan? It seems like he's been kind of
I prefer Shaheed and Olave over Michael Thomas.
Shaheed's just a fun play. Shaheed could be a sleeper play every single week.
Yep. Yeah. He's very boomer bust.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just echo what you guys have about Kamara. It's a great spot for him. So
I'm saying Saints.
I'm going to go Saints for sure.
Okay. Saints. All right, moving on here. We have the Rams, 3-5 Rams versus the 2-5 Packers. Current total right now 39.5. Green Bay is currently favored by 3.5. Excuse me. Jordan, you have a start in this game.
Yeah, so I got Daryl Henderson as a start this week. So it's a really good spot for him. The Packers give up almost 20 fantasy points per game to running backs. And then on top of that matchup, you have either a hurt Matthew Stafford or a Brett Ripien starting. So you would think the Rams will run the ball quite a bit. I think it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that first week that Daryl Henderson played, I think the Rams carried the ball or handed the ball off like 30 times. I think we could see something very similar to that. Henderson's only like him and Royce Freeman pretty much split the snaps down the middle, 50%, but he has out-touched Freeman both weeks. So I like Henderson a lot more here. It seems like Royce Freeman's probably out there for like pass blocking stuff. Because Henderson had, let me see here. Henderson had 18 carries in week 7, Freeman 12. And then last week, 12 carries for Henderson, Freeman 9. And Henderson is way more involved in the pass game than Freeman is. So like Henderson quite a bit this week. I think it's a pretty good matchup for him. And again, like I expect the Rams to run the ball quite a bit with the hurt Stafford or a Ripien there. And then on the flip side, my question to you guys is, what the heck do we do with Cooper Kupp?
I don't know. It's not fun. And I think it is Ripien. And I'm hoping McVay can maybe, like, we saw a bunch of different quarterbacks last year for the Rams, but Cooper Kupp wasn't there, right? So it was kind of, I'm curious to see how McVay schemes him in with a different quarterback. I'm more concerned about Puka than I am over Cooper Kupp.
I think Cooper Kupp has a bounce back week regardless. I think. Regardless of quarterback.
I don't think
he's washed.
No, I don't think he's washed.
Okay. I'm just posing the question because it's like you just feel like you just have to keep playing him, but like I'll be honest. In one of my leagues, I was doing better before Cooper Kupp came back.
Did Puka leave mid game last week?
I don't know. I wasn't watching that.
He was limited on Wednesday.
He had only 5.8 points. He was limited on Wednesday. He's questionable. Sorry.
He played 92% of the snaps.
I think so, and he only had 5.8 points. I think that Cooper is probably going to increase. I think veteran guys, especially if we have Stafford out, if veteran guys usually are going to take up some of the target share there. So I think that he's probably going to be a big guy if Stafford's not playing.
Yeah. Looking at
with like the mix ups.
No, but just looking at Cooper Kupp, he had 10 targets. He had 10 targets last week, but it just didn't pan out. Like, but back to back bad games for Cooper Kupp. But maybe you might be onto something, Jordan.
My question is, of these four receivers, sit one. Cooper Kupp, George Pickens, Devontae Smith, Terry McLaurin.
Man, I'm in a similar boat with you.
I'm going to go Pickens.
You're going Pickens? I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't think his upside is as big as the other guys.
Sit Pickens because I have Pickens and I want him to go off. So I think if you sit him.
I think Pickens is the highest upside out of all those.
I'm laying Devonta Smith, but he's got more involved this past week, and Dallas might key in on Brown.
I don't know. I guess my point is, would you tell someone they're crazy if they said, I'm going to sit Kupp?
In this circumstance, no. With this quarterback, if you're concerned about the quarterback play, I think then you sit him.
I think if you have Matthew Stafford and you say sit him, I think you're crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, I think
if we saw like logic. 4 weeks in a row of like no, like of bad games, well, I think we could maybe start.
We're two weeks in, Seth.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks in. So we got two more, to figure it out here. But it also helped too that Puka didn't have a good game last week. You know, no one did.
Would you trade Cooper Kupp for CeeDee Lamb?
I would
right
if I
now?
Could.
Oh, of course.
I don't think anyone will, though.
Would you trade Cooper Kupp for Calvin Ridley.
That's hard, I think.
If you're worried about the quarterback play, that's hard, man. That's really hard to do.
Would you trade Cooper Kupp for Devontae Smith?
I don't think I trade him for Devontae Smith or Ridley.
Okay. I think you could still, in it, depending on the league that you're in, Jordan, Cooper Kupp can still, you may get Devonta Smith and if it's a dynasty, you may get a pick next year, like, or like another player. Like,
would you, I think he's still valuable.
I might do that. I don't love it though. But Cooper Kupp, he is 30. But
that's how much his value's fallen though. Think about that. You just said you'd trade Cooper Kupp for Brandon Ayuk, probably.
Yeah, I don't love saying that though.
I don't know, man. In your home league, you think Cooper Kupp has dropped in value that much?
If you have a Rams fan in there, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just kind of like Chris Olave. Would you trade him for Chris Olave right now?
I think so, just because of the targets there. But I know someone's just punching their steering wheel.
It's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, but we'll see. Sunday night might roll around. We might be like, wow, why are we trading, you know, Cooper Kupp? But maybe if you have a Rams fan in your league, we live out in California. We have a lot of Rams fans. But is it possible Ripon could be better than Matt Stafford?
No. No, we've seen Brett Rippon play football.
I know. That's what I'm thinking too. Jordan Love has the second lowest completion percentage. I'm not excited about Christian Watson. You know, I think their GM said these next few games are going to be very important for Jordan Love. So
we'll see. For evaluation purposes. Yeah.
That might go down as one of the craziest draft picks, you know, them taking him there with the roster they had. I'm going to say, I don't even know who I want to pick to win this game.
I'll go Green Bay because the line makes me think that Stafford's not going to play.
Yeah, I can't.
And I'm not going to pick a Brett Rippon.
Brett Rippon versus Jordan Love. What a time to be alive! Old Mountain West quarterbacks.
This could be a garbage game, man.
I'm going
Slingers.
Yeah.
I'm going Packers.
I'll go Packers. Yeah, it's in Lambeau.
What we got next, Phil?
All right, moving on here. We have the 1-7 Cardinals versus the 4-3 Browns. No starts, no sits in this game. Dobbs is gone. Who do we have here as a starter? I completely missed this, but who do we have here as a starter in this game for the Cardinals?
Potentially Kyler Murray, right?
I thought he was
week 10. He's next week,
he's
I believe.
Not starting this week.
Okay.
But you know, I completely missed it. Current total right now is 37.5. Cleveland is currently favored by 9. Dobbs is gone. Not sure who the backup QB is.
I think it's Tune, but I'm not 100%.
They said it was Tune today was Tune, and they said there's Clayton like a Tune. Really long shot. It's Murray. I might, if it's not Murray, like my sin of the week was Marquise Brown. That was my sin of the week. But I thought if Murray played, they might get a garbage time TD.
Yeah, Tune starting.
Yeah.
This is kind of an ugly one, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's
easy. Just Browns here. I don't think I want to play any Cardinals guys with Tune back there unless Brown
McBride is okay, Seth.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, and I'm
just because tight end sucks and the volume's going to be there with them.
I'm going to go with my original sit. Then I'm going to go with Marquise Brown. Browns allow the least yards per game at 163, and with Clayton Tune in there, I don't want to play Marquise Brown in this matchup. So I'm going back to my original sit I had for the week, and you know, short week, not short week, but new quarterback play. I'm not excited about it.
Real quick, like it's a really good spot for the Cleveland running backs, but they were literally all three of them were in a three-way split. It was like 30-30-30 for Pierre Strong, Jerome Ford, and Kareem Hunt. I don't know if that's because Hunt and Ford are banged up or if they're just going to do this three-way thing, like this three-way split the whole rest of the season. I don't really know. I tend to think it's because Ford and Hunt are banged up that Pierre Strong got involved, but I don't know. But it's a really good spot. Like, if you told me that, hey, this guy is going to get 60% of the carry, or even 50%. If you told me Jerome Ford's getting 50% of the carries in this spot, I love Jerome Ford, but he seems a little banged up. The 30% snaps scares me a bit.
And it's
Amari Cooper's also really good here too.
It's looking like Watson's going to play this week. And then
really, Trent, I had seen for some limited reason or another.
They said he could have played like 2 weeks ago. So I don't like, I don't know what the deal is. I think it's just when he's ready. I don't know. Njoku's been getting a lot of targets without him there. That's probably the only downside. I'm going to say Browns win this game. Is there anything else you guys want to add to this one?
Cleveland.
Yeah, just Browns here all the way.
Yeah, Cleveland. All right, moving on here. We are going to the 4-4 Vikings versus, isn't this crazy? Cousins gets them back to 500 and he is gone. Like they started the season, what, 0-3?
Yeah.
Yeah. They started the season 0-3. They're now back at 500. Cousins is now gone. They are 4-4 against the 4-4 Falcons. The current total right now is 37. The Falcons are currently favored by 5. Drake London did not practice this week because of a groin injury. And so we can dive into this game a little bit. Let's get into it. What are you guys thinking here?
You think this could be a Kyle Pitts game with no Drake London, and Taylor Heinicke is the starter, correct?
Well, he is the starter. Sure.
Sorry, Kyle Pitts. I'm sorry. You can maybe play Kyle Pitts.
No, but we don't know.
Oh yeah, we don't know. Yeah. Sorry.
But Kyle, Heinicke is the starter. It was announced today, I believe, that Heinicke is the starter.
Yeah. So I think if there's no Drake London, I think this could be a really big Kyle Pitts game. Heinicke, he slings it. Like, he's not a, you know, he had a, I think it's interesting. I don't know.
It's possible Jonnu Smith has a crazy game too.
That is in the, that's worst case scenario, but I'm hoping.
Yeah, it is. But we know how much he's been used though in this offense.
Yeah.
Well, because they have three guys. Like, if Drake London's out, Jonnu Smith will have a good game. Yeah. I like Drake London a lot if he's playing this week though. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. a really good spot. So.
I like Hawkinson on the other side more than Addison.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, but can you play either of them? Like, I don't know. I like Jaren Hall. I don't know, but like, I think like, okay, you probably are playing Hawkinson just because tight end sucks, you know, and you just got to play him. But do you play Addison? Like,
you definitely don't play any other receiver besides Addison. You don't play Osborne, but I think maybe play Addison because if you think the Vikings have to throw the ball, they're going to throw it to Hawkinson and Addison. They're not going to throw it to anyone else.
But are the Falcons good enough to like really get up and make them throw the ball that much?
Vikings defense.
Maybe with Heinicke behind the center, yeah.
Maybe.
Vikings defense has been playing tough. Like, Kirk Cousins has looked good, I know, but the defense has been playing well also in these games.
The Vikings also can't really run the ball. I'll say that.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah. Cam Akers.
The Falcons, on top of Jaren Hall starting, the Falcons' pass defense has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Cam Akers and Alexander Madison might just get a lot more volume with this. I think they're going to – Vikings take a lot more conservative approach, I think. And, it really downgrades the upside for Addison and Hawkinson, that's for sure. I'm going to say Falcons win this game. Like, I don't,
is the game in Minnesota?
It's or in Atlanta.
They got Atlanta.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta.
I'll go Falcons.
I think you went Minnesota, Trent?
I said Atlanta, I thought.
Okay, I thought you said Minnesota. Sorry. Okay, yeah, I'm going Atlanta. I think I got to go Atlanta. All righty. Moving on here, we have the 2-6 Giants versus the 3-5 Raiders. Current total right now is 37. The Vegas is currently favored by 1.5. Jordan, you have a sit in this game. Before we get into that, though, do we have – was it the D coordinator or linebackers coach? Sorry. The linebackers coach potentially going to be the head coach, the interim head coach.
Yeah, he's the head coach. He's been saying some crazy quotes. His name is what, Strong? Is that who it is, or is it Pierce? What's the Raiders coach? Antonio Pierce, sorry. So former player, he can relate to the players really well. What do you got here, Jordan? Or Seth?
No, Seth has a start. That was my bad. Seth has a start.
Yeah, so my start is Saquon Barkley. We saw what Saquon had to do last week in a very ugly game. He just ran the ball, I think, 32 times or something crazy like that for 128 yards. So somewhat efficient, but not overly efficient. With the injuries they've had at quarterback, it seems like they just had to keep giving the ball. And I mean, it was a low game or low totaled game. And I think the weather was bad, but I think they just increased the use of Saquon. You think even with Daniel Jones coming back, I think they're still going to have to throw the ball to Saquon. I think he's good enough in the passing game to get there for the points. I think he does have a good week. We saw what Jahmyr Gibbs did to the Raiders last week. And I think Saquon is just as good as Gibbs. I don't know if the offensive line is as good as the Lions, but I think he's going to have a good week this week.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a smash spot.
The Raiders are – oh, let me say this. The Raiders are the third worst against running backs. They give up a lot of points, like 20-plus a week.
Yeah. Well, and the Giants are allowing 4.8 yards per carry to running backs, and they just traded Leonard Williams to the Seahawks. So it's a smash spot for Josh. It should be a smash spot for Josh Jacobs. We'll see what happens. And you're going to have a more inspired Raiders team without, you know, their coach there. So I see a Davante Adams bounce back. Aiden O'Connell, are you interested in streaming him in a deep, deep league, Jordan? Like, or absolutely not?
The only way you're playing Aiden O'Connell is in a super flex league with probably 12 teams or more.
Uh-huh. I think Davante Adams is going to have a really good game this game.
I mean, it kind of stinks because we would have hit a lot of bets last Sunday if he doesn't get overthrown on two different big plays. So,
yeah.
I mean, hopefully O'Connell's good enough to get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Raiders win this game. Giants, I don't know if they're going to have Darren Waller. It's
Darren Waller's out.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones in.
Okay. So they do got Jones back. I'm going Raiders.
I got Giants.
I'm going Raiders. This new interim coach always the one crazy quote that he said is, "I was born a Raider," and I guess I kind of can relate to that, right? I was born a Raider.
I want to say Giants, but I think I got to ride with my fellow Raider fans around here. Raiders, they're hyped to see they're hyped to see McDaniels gone, and I'm hyped with them, so I'm gonna go Raiders here.
Well, here's the thing: I was talking to Raiders fans. You know, they're back, baby. They think they're gonna win the Super Bowl again. So season's not over yet. So. Raiders fans, this is kind of, you know, Phil's Raiders fan, Raider pod. There's only one nation, that's Raider Nation.
I was talking to a Raider fan today, and I said, man, when I saw that they benched Garoppolo, they fired all those guys, said, Raiders are in tank mode. And he said, no, they're not. They would have traded Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams if they were in tank mode. I'm like, okay, whatever.
It's true, Jordan. Like, they could, those string some stuff together.
I think I somewhat agree with that statement.
Yeah. They aren't trading Devontae.
No, because they have incompetence as an ownership. Their owner's incompetent.
Yes, that's true as well, but still.
If the Raiders really in tank mode, they would, or he was really like selling it off, he'd sell the team. That's how we know if they're really in tank mode.
Yeah, but they would have kept McDaniels if they were in tank mode. And remember when they had Bisacci? You know, they actually had – when they had Bisacci, they were good. Like, I think this team could have some fantasy relevance here. So, just, you know, with O'Connell throwing YOLO balls to Adams and Myers, like, this could be a fun team to watch.
They're only, like – Trent, you just – I mean, that's where –
You don't think so?
Now it's Davante Adams. They're going to be a fun team to watch. Like, anyways – they're only like three games back out of the wild card. So I think everyone's kind of in contention in the AFC.
It's all on what O'Connell can do. Because if Aiden O'Connell can move the ball, get Adams fed, they can score points and see what happens. You know, I think you're going to have a more fired up team with a chip on their shoulder now that McDaniels is gone.
You say that, Jordan, that the no one's really out in the NFC, and the Broncos just beat the Chiefs last week. So, like, what are we looking at here, man? The
Broncos might be out in the AFC.
They have the same record.
I know. That's why they didn't trade anybody.
Okay. I'm saying Raiders.
All right.
I'm going Raiders, Raider Nation. Zach Crockett touchdown else. Dance, Phil, right here on your screen, if you even remember who that is. I doubt
Sorry,
you
I was looking to the – what did you say?
Zach Crockett touchdown dance. Remember that guy for the Raiders?
There we go. I know that. I know the hand thing that you just did. All right, moving on here. We have the Monday night football game. Chargers 3-4, Jets 4-3. Current total right now is 41.5. LA is currently favored in New York. All right, gentlemen, this is our last game. Just really bring it home, would you guys?
All right. No team allows more passing yards than the Chargers, Phil. Jaguars are in second. Jets allow the sixth most receiving yards per game to running backs. So I think this could be a smash spot for Austin Eckler. And other side of the ball, Breece Hall, I think, could have a good game. Also, fire up your Garrett Wilson. This will be an interesting Monday night game. And we have seen far too much Chargers primetime games. Make it stop, please.
You know, if I could, you know how when you use your iMessage text, you can emphasize the text?
Thank you.
I just emphasize everything what Trent just said.
Thank you, Jordan. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
You're welcome.
Phil, what do you have to say about this, buddy?
I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously a Jets fan, and I could see them figuring out a way to win this one. Here's the weird thing. You guys were talking mad trash about Aaron Rodgers coming back. The dude's recovery is wild right now. Like, did they not go after any quarterback because Robert Saleh thinks that Aaron Rodgers is going to be back in, like, late December? Like, what are we thinking here? It's just crazy to have Aaron Rodgers out there just kind of, like, letting it rip on the sideline pregame. And they went after absolutely no one in the QB market, especially with the trade deadline that just came and went. Like, what are we thinking here? Like, does Saleh just think he can go for broke with an awesome defense?
I think so. Like, their wins are ugly. They're very ugly. Probably just not anyone out there he really wants, you know, like, he probably doesn't want to trade for Josh Dobbs, you know, like who else is out there to play QB for him?
Ty Huntley.
Oh my goodness. Phil, you should have shaved your beard, just kept a mustache, and been Aiden O'Connell for Halloween. Like, that was a huge missed opportunity for you. Just got, like, a white shirt and drew his number on there. I don't know.
You look more like Aiden O'Connell than I do. Like, you legitimately...
I should have done that.
Photos,
I wish you would have told me to grow a mustache. I don't know why you didn't. Thanks for the
you
help.
You had a mustache a couple of weeks ago.
Thanks, but no thanks. Old segment we used to have. Jordan, what do you have to say? I feel like you're trying to roll your eyes, but not roll your eyes on camera.
No, I'm actually reading about Aaron Rodgers' recovery timeline.
It's crazy.
He said, the thing we have to remember, I need to be able to move. Otherwise, why the heck would I come back? I need to be able to play from under center and get to an outside zone handoff and get to a keeper and be able to move in the pocket. Otherwise, I'm not doing our team, myself, my career, any favors. A lot's got to happen. I'm not even jogging yet. I'm just taking some nice dropbacks. So a lot has to happen.
Which, yeah, that's true. But, like, he's recovering
He said the walking has really normalized. I'm able to walk pretty normal. And that I think things can progress into jogging and moving. But today is Tuesday. It's 7 weeks and a day since surgery. Tomorrow will be 7 weeks. We're ahead of schedule, but a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, he if he's coming back, it's after January. So I'm obviously being exaggerative there, but
that would
you never
be
know.
The craziest recovery from Achilles tear in the history of probably mankind.
Has to be.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the fact that he's just even standing up, throwing, and, like, you know, even where he's at right now is a crazy recovery.
I mean, we're talking about, like, one of the most, because, like, I don't mean to give, like, a basketball reference here, but, like, Kobe Please Bryant don't. Couldn't even, like, come back fully from a torn Achilles. Like,
it's the same,
you know,
doctor.
Like, Aaron, like, yeah, but, like, we're talking about, like,
yeah,
one of the most, like, people with the toughest mindset, like, toughest, you know, like, mental toughness. And, like, if Aaron Rodgers can come back even older than Kobe Bryant did, yeah, it'd be pretty impressive.
And Kobe had that flu game, too.
All right. Okay. Let's stop. Is anyone
right. Well, who are we taking
is
here?
Is anyone going Jets here?
I got this is the game the Chargers was lose because it's typical Chargers fashion.
I'm going 37 as the total, and I'm going Jets. Garbage. 37 total, and I'm going Jets.
37 and Jets.
I'm going to go... man, Jets have a better record than the Chargers. That's what I didn't realize. I'm going to go with Jets, and I'm going to go with... 34.
Okay.
Jordan, what'd you say?
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to go 34. I'm going to go.
That was pretty low.
Chargers, and I'll go 40 on the dot.
Okay. Satherton?
I'll go Chargers and go 41.
Here's the thing, though, guys, is like, when the Jets play games, they're ugly and they're low scoring. Like, what was their last one? It was like 17 versus the Giants. I know there was like negative passing yards.
Yeah, but I think that was a pretty rainy game, though. I think the weather was bad.
So I think that does it, guys. Anything else you guys want to add here? No?
After this week, we'll be half Sunday or Monday. We'll be halfway through the season, which is absolutely insane.
Sheesh.
And the fantasy season is more than halfway.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true because the week 16 is kind of the
championship, basically.
All right. Well, hey, guys, thanks for tuning in.
If you have like,
No, thanks for tuning in. We will see you on Monday where we'll recap, you know, talk about some who hurt you, all that good stuff. See you next time. Remember, don't be rude. Share the dudes. And as always, take care.
This has been another episode of the Fantasy Football Dudes podcast. Remember to rate, review, and follow. For more information, go to www.thefantasyfootballdudes.com. And remember, we are sorry for absolutely nothing.